welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. I'm here with Liz, Miss Shadow Lovely, and Slow Beef. Hey, what's up? Hey,
yo,
we're pff,
test of strength. Dell, the Dell episode, whether you like it or not.
Thank
one of many.
Goodness.
I feel like he's gotten way too much screen time for a character that has almost no effect on the main plot so far.
He wasn't in the last one, right? Bullseye?
Yeah, yes. He wasn't in Bullseye at all, which was weird. I think it's either him or Stanley who, like, are the main antagonist by screen time over Dandy or Twisty, which seems wild, but
right?
Here
yeah.
we are.
what are we doing here?
Also, Elsa. Elsa's a little, like, kind... She's not... She is in the episode, but she's kind of absent. For, like, the main story beats of this episode.
It's a bold move to, like, just keep reducing your likable characters in your cast by just, like, turning them bad and evil and shitty. It's like Danganronpa, but they're just, like, awful now, you know? Like, they don't die, but you wish they did.
Oh, I wish we could shoot baseballs at Del. That would be such a better... that would be such a better ending.
And everyone who enables it, which is strangely everyone this episode, even though, like,
God.
Yeah, everyone's decided that, like, Del gets a pass on everything.
Which is...
There are things that happen this episode that would immediately, in any reasonable functional society or, group of people, tribe, if you will, they would say, you're gone and you don't get to come back. And if
right?
you come back, we're going to kill you on sight. Like, that's the kind of thing that Del is going to do in the middle of this episode. And then everyone's just going to be like, boys will be boys. And it's like, what?
it's crazy. And like, I know, right?
We don't get to see too much
They killed a cop, for God's sake. Like, they don't, you know what I mean? And now it's like, but what are we going to do about this guy?
They'll have some real complicated feelings about the police by the end of this episode. Don't worry. unfortunately.
The cops, Jimmy! Yeah.
My favorite special little guy, Dandy, since my other special little guy, Twisty, is gone, doesn't get a lot of screen time this episode, regrettably. He only gets the opening sequence, which, disservice to the funny little fella, I think. This is one of the few episodes where it just picks up straight where it left off from the last episode, where Jimmy's knocking on the door to see, which, again, don't know how Jimmy knows where Dandy lives, but he does. And Jimmy's like, I gotta see the twins. And Dandy's like, fucking whatever. They're upstairs. Here they are. And there they are. They're just in their room reading a magazine, I guess. And Dandy's like, see, they're just here and they're fine. And Gloria's there also. And she's like, yeah, no, the twins aren't like prisoners or anything. They can just like leave if they want to. They're grown women. They can just like leave. We didn't like kidnap them. And Jimmy's like, you gotta come back to the freak show. We'll protect you at the freak show. As if he didn't just watch Elsa stab Paul 24 hours ago. And as if he didn't also think that Elsa was the one who sold them to the Motts. There's really not a lot of, it feels like this declaration could have waited maybe like 30 seconds. Because, like, as we've already stated so many times, there's no urgency right now. There should be no urgency on any of the characters' parts of we've got to get the twins out of here. Like, there's no reason to worry about the twins. They seem fine. They're being taken care of. They're not being held hostage. There's no reason why Jimmy should be like, we gotta get you out of here. Like, why? They're, like, they're fine. They're good. And then the Dot or Bet or one of them is like, no, we're here and like Dandy kicks ass. Did you know that Dandy killed Twisty the Clown? That's awesome. And then like that makes Jimmy have a brain blast moment where he's like, oh, Dandy must be the other clown. And then Jimmy now re-emphasizes that they have to leave. He's like, no, now you really gotta go. You really gotta leave now. I didn't have a reason before, but now you really gotta go. And then Dot is like, and like Dandy starts throwing like a little temper tantrum, like, no, they can't leave. Like, we're in love, blah, 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 blah. And like, we're going to get them a surgery and all sorts of stuff. And Dot's like, oh, how'd you know about the surgery? Did you read my diary? I want to leave now. And then Bette obviously doesn't because she loves Dandy. And then Dot, oh my fucking God. Dot tells Bette telepathically, she's like, we need to leave. Which is, she doesn't like give more info. She's just like, we need to leave. Not even like urgently, just like, I want to leave. Right. And then Dandy is like, Bette, I love you so much. Like, we should be together. Like, love is over everything. And then Bette, in the most uncharacteristic decision of all time, instantaneously is like, I'm sorry, Dandy. I'm always going to pick my sister. You know, the one that just verbally confirmed 3 seconds ago that she is planning on killing me still, has tried to kill me, stabbed me, and I had dreams constantly of killing me. That is where my loyalty lies. Sorry. And then they leave. They just decide to leave.
Like, no further justification. Like, it's one of those things where, since it had been long enough since I had seen the last episode, when this scene happened, I had a moment of like, well, that's reasonable. You have to stay, like, you're literally attached. You have to stick by her side. And I realized in that moment, I was falling for the trap that American Horror Story must hit so many people with, where like, you don't remember enough of the last episodes, so you don't get upset that this character is just like acting against all of their own intentions.
Right? Yeah. No, because so much crap, like the pacing is, it's almost like they do it on purpose to like fool you, like how a ninja throws a smoke bomb, but it's them with like Fast and Furious plot and then slow downs, you know? Like, it's like a mind.
Yeah, they're like, we made Dell too complicated and confusing, so let's put him on the back burner for an episode and see if the audience doesn't forget a couple of the less likable traits about Dell.
And when we bring him back, we will add several more new unlikable traits to Dell.
We can't help ourselves.
When he comes back, he will have some DLC, some Dell-LC even.
Picking up bad character traits like a horse armor.
And this scene, again, this is the last time we get to see Dandy for this episode, unfortunately. They do one of several times of this episode where, like, the cinematography is actually, like, really good for this one scene. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Wish you did this more often. This is, like, a really good framing. Like, a good, like, it's a good angle. It's a good composition. The way that the camera is unsteady and shaking really shows that Dandy is losing his grip on like the little bit of sanity he had left. Like, this is really good filmmaking, like from a visual and like an artistic standpoint. They never do that ever for some reason. There's just this one scene.
And there's another one later in this episode where they like really take a big swing with an editing choice, and like, I don't know if it works in context, but it's like very visually arresting and like very interesting to see. So like, credit where credit's due, someone in the office like has seen a movie at least. they've had a novel idea, because there's some cool stuff in here as opposed to just like, hey, you all saw American Psycho, right?
Yeah. Like, the last shot before the opening sequence is the twins leave with Jimmy, and we are like facing into the room from the doorway that they leave from, and we see Dandy, and it like tight zooms on Dandy, and the camera is very shaky, like it's a handy cam. And he is crying, and he almost, in my like opinion, it almost looks like they're trying to emulate that like one very famous painting of like the angel crying with like his arm over it, because Dandy's like the guy who plays Dandy, I think his name is Finn Wittrock or something, he's a very pretty man, like a classically pretty, like artistic looking man, and they really emphasize like his blue eyes and like the tears running down his very perfect porcelain skin. And it's just a really pretty shot that looks very artistic. And like I said, it's shaking as it gets closer, so you can tell, like, he's about to fucking lose it.
Yeah. It's creating a contrast between, like, his very pristine image and the literal, like, falling apart stuff around him in the form of the camera shaking. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They will and never then, do like, this
other
again.
Times, they've used shaky camera in the past, but it's usually to make it harder to see Lady Gaga as a bog witch or like things of that nature.
Yeah, to keep you disoriented as the viewer so that you're like, oh, what? Oh, what was that? What am I looking at?
More to harm and confuse you than anything else.
Yeah.
It's like when you spin around really fast in an office chair and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm so dizzy. And then the opening sequence plays and we will never see Dandy again for this episode, regrettably. So they set that up and then we don't get any payoff at all. We are 3 minutes into the episode and that is including the opening sequence, which is a minute long. And we're already at our musical number, regrettably.
Oof, this one hurts.
This might be the worst one.
Yeah.
Not as far as like, the performance is the worst. Like, it's not great, but this is pretty whatever overall. It's just the choice is insane. And in context, in the story, the way people react to it is also insane. It is Come As You Are by Nirvana. It is explicitly the Nirvana version. They have the same pedals and the same amplifier effects, or at least like an amplifier emulation that's running on it, because it's the same sound as the like Nirvana's got a very specific sound, right, that like helped define grunge, like a cleaner, slightly more relaxed version of like late Neil Young sound, and it's that like one-to-one, it's that. It sucks, man. Like, it's Nirvana. You can't. Nirvana is like one of the defining sounds that anchors a period of time in history. You can't take that one.
Yeah, they would have burned you as a witch if you played this in 1952. Like, for they'd kill you with a gun. Like, for real, for real. They would not let you do this. And it's, in case you're wondering, well, who's doing it? Jimmy. For some reason, and in case you're wondering, like, oh, is Jimmy doing music now? No.
Fucking I guess. guess Crab does music now.
Yeah, like, it's not, like, he's not like, oh, this is my new thing. I do music now. Didn't you know I could also sing, and sing? Also,
this is for me, who did it all the time. Sorry.
It's not like he's, like, in his caravan alone or something and, like, singing to himself and, like, imagining the accompaniment. No, his ass is on stage and Eve is, like, slapping a bass behind him. Like, this is really happening, which...
To Elsa. What? Like, to Elsa who's watching. And, like, I guess they're, like... Oh, this is what he's gonna do when they're on TV, question mark? And I'm like, I don't think this show knows what a freak show is, nor do I think they know what a television show is. Because, like, I think they've confused a musical troupe with, like, a freak show. Because this is, well, they don't have any, like, special talents, and we're like a circus, so what do they do? We'll give them a guitar, and they'll sing. That's what you do at the freak show, is you make them sing. It's just like one big musical all the time.
You can't have a freak show without freaks and a show, you know, both in the name, so ipso facto.
And the only show there is music shows, obviously.
And you know what kills me, too, though? It's like, so Elsa, they never acknowledge the artistic music, which I think is great because they're all wild and ridiculous, but like... The thing that is killing me is this, like, because then you can at least get away with, like, your artistic choice of an anachronistic song. But here, expressly, then Elsa's like, you can't play that. Which is like, wait, what is happening here? Like, what am I believing here right now? Because she's like, it's too much of a downer. And I'm like, are you actually talking about Nirvana's Come As You Are, which didn't exist at the time that you live in? Like, is that really what's happening? Like, are you fucking with me?
Out.
Like, what are you...
Bums like, me out. Bad vibes. Don't like it. Makes me sad. Not a big fan.
How dare you? Like, how fucking dare you? Like, damn it.
Which I would like to say, this is when I notice, because when I have to pause to do notes, I frequently see the overlay that Amazon Prime puts over the TV show. I would like to read the brief excerpt that it put over The Come As You Are is playing, which I think is the funniest fucking thing I've ever read in my entire life. General trivia. In season 4, parentheses, Freak Show, characters sing songs that were released after 1952, parentheses, the time period in which Freak Show takes place. Many fans criticized and disliked this, but it was intentional. Though a simple and obvious analogy, Amazon fucked up their spelling. Ryan Murphy has said in an interview that he picked songs that were made by artists who were known as or called themselves quote unquote freaks. For example, David Bowie, Lana Del Rey, Nirvana, etc. End of excerpt.
Kurt Cobain was addicted to drugs.
what a freak.
Notice how they didn't mention Fiona Apple in there either. They just didn't, they casually didn't drop Fiona Apple.
Oh, she's a doll. We would never drop digs on Fiona Apple.
Look at this guy on heroin. What a weirdo, right, everybody?
Yeah, yeah, well, what a freak and shooting up under a bridge. What a clown.
Also, like, I don't think Nirvana ever, like, had, like, a song where they refer to themselves as, like, a freak. I don't think.
No.
Lana Del Rey, for what it's worth, has a song called Freak, but it's not, like, it's not for the reason you think it is. Like,
also, David Bowie was, like, a daring artistic person. I don't know if he was ever like a freak. Even when he was like the Goblin King in Labyrinth, everyone's like, yeah, he could hit it. Yeah, absolutely.
Did they mistake freak for freak for Nirvana? Is that what's happening?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, probably. You know what? This is what really pisses me. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, like, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
What kills me about this is, prior to that knowledge, which was shared in our Discord before this thing, what kills me about this knowledge is, even before then, I figured the anachronistic songs had, like, some thematic worth, you know, like, something to do with the story, even at the most basic level.
We're after committing a murder and then trying to cover it up and hide it and not let anyone know that she's a murderer. The character starts singing, I'm a murderer. Yeah. I love doing a murder.
It's like you can't even hit that tiny low bar. Like, seriously, it wasn't even that. It's just, I think they're all wacky, these musicians. Like, what the fuck?
We have several episodes left, and the only way I'm gonna buy this bullshit that Ryan Murphy has clearly pulled out of his asshole is if by the end of this we get a musical number where either Jimmy or someone else in the Freak Show sings Freak on a Leash by Korn. That's the only way I will buy bullshit.
Freak on a Leash. I also would like Super Freak if I could get a request in as well. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Ooh, that's a good one. I do like it because, you know, that's how the conversation went, is like so many people were popping off like, well, these songs don't fit. We don't like this. Why are you using these songs? They don't make any sense. And then Ryan Murphy was like, I specifically chose these songs because these are artists that have at one point or another referred to themselves as freaks, even though, like, that's not true.
Oh, no, not the nerd voice. When Liz says you sound like that, you're really in the shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what Ryan Murphy sounds like, but that's in my mind, that's what Ryan Murphy sounds like.
You're right.
No, you're right.
That's right.
You got it in one.
And I'm not like misremembering. So I'm not like Mandela affecting. He's one of the guys who did Glee. Yeah. Like,
yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I think he just wanted to do Glee. I think that's the answer, is he wanted to start doing Glee in American Horror Story. And people did not like it.
Like, you're doing, like, documentary stuff after this, and you're still doing real stuff here. Like, just do what you want to do. Stop, like, doing this and calling it horror. Like, it doesn't work. You're not good at it. Damn it.
What? To add, like, an extra level of confusion, because Ryan Murphy is getting, like, blown up everywhere for doing bad jobs of, like, historical retellings, and then, obviously, American Horror Story. Like, he does a bad job at so many things, and, like, his, like, American Crime Story and stuff. Everyone fucking hates most of the things that he does when it comes to that. But then, like, when he does, like, Scream Queens, like, it's doesn't take itself seriously, and like it's good in the way that like it is what it's supposed to be, and like doesn't try to be something else. And it's like, well, why, when you're just goofing around, things are like good, so why not just do that? People liked Glee.
Just
I wasn't one of them.
Just do campy shit.
Yeah,
just do campy shit. 100%. People love campy shit. I Rocky Horror Picture Show fucking slaps, and it's not because it's dead serious. Like, right, like you could just do campy shit. People love it. It's fun. Like, if they just were having fun all the time, it'd be great, but they're not. Paul's bleeding in the back right now.
Like,
Paul got a knife thrown on him on the dumb fuck wheel, and now Penny's giving him smooches to feel better, I guess.
Is it working?
Used on that part, too, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul's fine, by the way. He never needed the ambulance. The ambulance was unnecessary, and I guess Elsa just knew that that was the case.
Yeah, that was so
he's fine.
What the fuck?
You guys ready to see
some... Yeah, we're just dropping killing Paul. That's done. That
yeah,
plot
he's fine.
Line's over.
He got better. He, like, had a grievous wound, but it got better.
Chekhov's after... gun. I don't gotta fire that. Damn it,
Chekhov's
dude,
weird spinning wheel. Who is that?
I don't like guns. Like, you fucking assholes. Like, you can't just do these plot threats. You can't keep getting away with this.
Who's ready to see some butt cheeks at 7 a.m.? It's Del. Del's at the gay bar I don't know the name of, but he's there at like 8 in the morning.
They do mention the name later. It
oh,
does
yeah.
come up, but
I
it's
forgot.
Not terribly important. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he walks in, there is just a dude butt-ass naked in the back of the shot, just cheeks
Which,
out.
So, like, the whole thing, right, about having a, like, bespoke gay bar at this point in time is like that it's a little under the table, a little hidden, right? That's like
yeah, yeah.
kind of the point is that
right.
it's like obfuscation, you know, like you have your quote unquote wife and then you go do. Yeah. Like that's the. So wouldn't that be like a little bit defeated if just like someone randomly like walked in asking for directions and saw like a guy butt ass naked getting a blowjob or something in the corner? Because like
you
that's
think?
What this place fucking is right now. It's like, come on, man. Like the discretion.
It's 8 a.m. Like,
I haven't been in many gay speakeasies, but I could certainly run one better than these people.
I was going to say, I've been to the Stonewall Inn. It was, like, pretty chill. Yeah,
yeah
compared
no, yeah.
to, like, this.
It's yeah. not, yeah. It doesn't seem that, like, it seems like you just have to do the logical thing of don't get, you know, don't be super upfront about it. Like, yeah.
Like at least go to the back or something. Like, right
yeah,
there at
yeah.
the front door. Like, relax. Relax,
You're not
buddy.
Allowed to just be naked at any bar. Gay, straight, Doctor Who themed. They don't want you naked in it. They don't care.
True.
Especially not at 8 a.m. Like, that bartender just clocked in. Like, he's not into this at all. But he's like, man, put it away. No one wants to see that. But he is. His butt's out. And
he's a good tipper.
Yeah. Del's like, where's my boyfriend, Andy? I miss him. Where is he? I want to smooch him. And the bartender's like, you shouldn't fall in love with sex workers, you dumb idiot. And then Del beats the shit out of him.
Oh, Del.
And then he leaves. And then
Del is going to be the most frustrating character as far as going 0 to 1,000 and then 1,000 to 0 out of nowhere repeatedly. Like, to be clear, beating the shit out of him, like, he grabs the bartender by the back of the head and slams his face into the bar. Like, you can't do that, man.
Remember like, when that bartender had a shotgun cannot. In one episode, like, one episode ago? Remember when he, like, whipped out a shotgun yeah. in, like, 0.8 seconds? Like, no time flat, had it ready to go?
If you remember that, you're doing way better than the people who wrote the show, apparently. Because, yeah.
Oh, that shotgun's just for when someone gets too, like, riled up around one of the escorts, question mark? I don't really know. They're kind of treating this gay bar like it's a brothel. Like, because, like, the bartender seems to, like, know what's going on. Which I think kind of makes it a brothel in some ways. But the big
it's
reveal.
At least facilitating sex work. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess if you're going to give someone like a safe place to do it, it is what it is. But the big reveal is that behind the guy who is butt ass naked, like kind of just sitting in front of him and looking at him within like a foot distance. Is Stanley. Oh no, the only other gay character so far. And he sees Del. Oh no. What? Hey, knowing you guys, knowing what you do know, like not to, we won't spoil it, but like knowing what you know, do you, wouldn't the rest of this episode kind of fall apart if Stanley hadn't decided to come, like, grope this naked man at 8 a.m. at this specific gay bar? Wouldn't the rest of the episode kind of, crumble?
Now that you mention it, yes!
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it. Yeah, that's, that does, break down the whole shit, huh?
Yeah!
And what if Del just didn't give a shit that people knew that he was gay? Wouldn't that also, yeah. Anyway... Very
yeah, what
convenient.
If he was just like, or what if Del did what Del always does and just reacted with an unbelievable amount of violence right away?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Could,
all right,
yeah, that could work.
And like he just did. In fact, Stanley just watched him fucking obliterate that bartender for kind of no reason. Stanley doesn't know why. Yeah, just keep that in mind for what happens for the rest of the episode. By the way, the whole time this is happening, and I'm not joking, Jimmy is still singing Nirvana in the background. It goes on for a whole set of scenes.
They do that thing where they cut back and forth audio. Yeah, it's...
He's done now, finally. Now that we've done all of these scenes with Paul and Del and Stanley, now Jimmy's done singing. Yeah, Elsa's like, didn't like it. Bummer.
I'm sorry I jumped the gun. I can't take it because they're explicit. She's like, yeah, the downer and stuff. And I'm like, you can't do this. But they do. And then Jimmy's like, yeah, you didn't like the song? Well, you tried to get rid of the twins, which is like, what? Huh? Oh, okay. I guess we're doing this now.
What if she loved it? What if she was like, whoa, that was so good, Jimmy? Would he have been like, all right, but I got my eye on you.
Yeah.
You're on thin ice, but I got my eye on you. Yeah, he starts like crashing out. He's like, we know that you tried to sell the twins. We think you did it. I don't know why this is even happening. I don't even know why this song is happening because like you have concrete evidence that she did sell the twins. Gloria straight up says, we bought the twins from Elsa in the opening sequence.
Yeah, this is going to really break down something that happens later, too. Like, remember, this is not just the twins' word we're taking. It's Dandy and Gloria as well, who explicitly said, we paid money for those twins. Why would we bring them harm when we paid so much money for them? We bought them explicitly from Elsa. We did.
With money.
Like, it's with money we used to buy a person, people, two of them. We did it. Like, it's... And later on, the twins are just going to be like, no, we weren't, they didn't pay for us with money. And they're just going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, it's the next scene because while this is happening, by the way, that is also like, again, so like we know, we being the audience and Jimmy, know for a fact, concrete evidence that Elsa definitely did sell the twins, which means that she also fucking lied about it in her weird little meltdown. And then fucking stabbed Paul because he figured it out. So, like, all of those things have been proven to be true to Jimmy. I don't know why we're humoring this song and dance, literal, and then also being like, Elsa, we think you sold the twins. Like, no, you know she sold the twins, which means she lied and had her little fake meltdown and then used it as an excuse to stab Paul, who was, like, trying to... like prove that she did it. But they Jimmy will Jimmy has this weird condition this episode where he will have concrete evidence that a character who he already does not like has done something horrendous, and instead of being the Jimmy who's like, I would kill anybody to bring meat back to life, I'm the protector of the freaks, he's like, well, we'll give them a pass. Well, man, I think they're fine. I'm gonna stand up for these people that don't like me, and I don't like them, and I know they've done something terrible. I think this is good, actually. Also, remember last episode when Maggie was like, we gotta fucking go, dude. Someone's gonna try and murder you. Some guy, I saw it in my future visions or whatever. And he's like, that's great. I just gotta go get the twins back. Then we can leave. Remember that?
Yeah.
He's not doing that. I guess.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
There is a lot of that.
He decided he didn't want to for some reason. Then as he's calling Elsa out, this is where Dot and Bette are standing at like the corner of the circus tent. And Jimmy's like, yeah, tell everybody who's standing here behind me that, you know, Elsa sold you. And Dot, for some reason, is like, no, Elsa didn't sell us. We left by our own devices. She didn't.
Just try the finer things in life for a little bit. And Elsa was nice enough to help us, get that put together. And now we're on the way. It was just a misunderstanding, Jimmy. Nobody questions this, which, I'll be real. If I was anyone else, any other performer at the circus, who do you think I'm trusting more, Jimmy or the twins? Because I don't fucking trust the twins. They're nonsense. Everything they're involved with is fucking nonsense.
The best case scenario, really, the choices here, either the twins betrayed the troop by just leaving, like just fucking off. And by the way, they know about a murderer. You know what I mean? So that's like a little like shady in general. Or Elsa did. You know what I mean? Like, there's no like, okay. Ooh, I thought Elsa was bad. It's like, no, that's still fucked up, but you have to deal with that. So,
also, what would Jimmy gain from lying here? Like, what does he gain from like framing Elsa? No one understands motive.
Jimmy heard Dandy and Gloria say, we paid for the twins using money. We paid for them as if they were a good and or service. And like, he's just like, oh, I guess she was confused.
Like, normal people lying to me for no reason again. Ugh.
Everyone always loves pulling one over on old Jimmy Darlin.
If I didn't have these lobster hands, people would tell me the truth, but.
Are you guys ready for I consider to be the most fucking insane scene of this television show so far? Oh my god. And the worst part is they will not retroactively explain what the fuck they are talking about here. So Desiree decides to bring Ethel to the doctor for some reason. They don't even say why Ethel's going to the doctor. They're just like, yeah, Ethel needs to go to the doctor. And they kind of like hobble up to the doctor's office, and there is God's tiniest post-it note on the door that just has written closed for business. I guess they didn't do doctor appointments back then. You just kind of walked in and hoped for the best. Holy shit. That does not stop Desiree and Ethel. They go in to the office anyway, which is already crazy. This is the most unhinged scene possible, I think. They come in, and there is a woman we have never seen before packing up all of the doctor's belongings into a box. And they're like, who are you? What are you doing? I know we just trespassed into this doctor's office.
Who are you?
Yeah, what are you doing in here? And she's like, you, as if she fucking knows who these people are.
You killed him. You did it. Which,
yeah, she's like, I'm his daughter. And they have this exchange where Ethel's like they're trying to imply that Ethel has like a pretty good relationship with the doctor because she knows like personal details. Because she's like, oh, the one who he moved here to be closer to. And then this character who we will never see again is like, no, I'm his other daughter who doesn't have children and doesn't get to see him. I'm here to bury him. Like, okay, there is a lot to unpack here. Holy shit. What a loaded fucking character. And then she...
Confusingly overwritten accessory character that could have honestly just been completed by the post-it note on the door and them looking at it and going, oh, I guess he doesn't work here anymore.
Right. Like, it's wild.
I know what a lot of you are thinking. You're probably like, well, Del didn't kill the doctor. Correct. She starts screaming at Desiree, who cannot be overstated enough, looks like a regular fucking woman, does not look like a quote-unquote freak show performer, looks like a regular fucking person, and then Ethel, who only has a beard. Like, the two, probably the two most normal-looking people at the freak show, frankly, besides Amazon Eve, who's just a tall lady. More on that later. this woman starts losing her goddamn mind, screaming at Desiree and Ethel, going, "You're the reason he killed himself. The freaks existing are the reason he killed himself."
And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, too, like, you know, there are women with, like, facial... There's women with facial hair. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you wouldn't automatically even assume that, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, well, you know, Desiree looks, you know, not like she's in the cartoon, but this lady with facial hair must be. It's like, no, that ha- like, no! Like, there's no reason! Damn it!
It's like someone just seeing any, like, slightly larger woman being like, oh, how many months pregnant are you? But, like worse somehow. It's just like, oh, I'm freak. What are you going? Get on the outskirts of the city. Oh, what the? It's like, yeah, like I haven't shaved in a week. What the fuck's your problem?
Or, like, walking into a gym like, oh, look, a bunch of acrobats and circus strongmen. How interesting. Like, what the
fuck? Whoa. Wonder is all around us. The whimsy is everywhere. And, like, she's like, because it has to be because of you. Because, by the way, she doesn't say, like, he left a note or anything. Like, they don't explain what the fuck she's talking about. She's just like, and we know it was because freaks existed, because before he died, he smashed up his own fingers. I'm like, do you not understand how fucking insane you sound right now? He smashed up his own fingers? How? With, like, a saw trap? Like, how did he manage to do both of them? I was gonna be like, yeah,
that's, like, one of the hardest ways to break your own body on purpose. Because, like, if you break your left hand, then what are you going to use to break the right one, stupid?
Yeah. And imagine being like, I know I've been a doctor for like 75 years, but I just fucking hate freaks so much, I'm going to break my own hands about it and then kill myself. Also, not to be like too insensitive, how'd he kill himself with no functioning hands?
So it's all like a big Rube Goldberg machine he had to invent for all of this.
In case you're wondering, they don't really tell us how he died of broken handsitis, but apparently he fucking did.
Like, and I can't even like begin to start wrapping my head around what the story is supposed to be telling us. Oh, the only thing I can think of is like, they had to realize, the writers had to realize, like, just Del threatening this guy isn't, like, enough. He has to be dead, otherwise Del's, like, in jail. Like, we gotta kill this guy.
You can't just break a doctor's fucking hands. Yeah, like a beloved member of the community. You can't just do that. Like, even if you don't want to spill the beans, someone will ask you, hey, doctor, why are your fucking hands broken? Both of them. That would take some wild engineering for you to do to yourself. What's going on here?
God. And, like, again, they will not make even a single effort to, like, try and explain what the fuck they are talking about. Yet, they will introduce this weird accessory character who's like, let me drop a little bit of lore about my tense relationship with my father because of my lack of children. Also, my dad somehow broke both. And she says it in such a wild way. She's like, he broke his beautiful surgeon hands. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? I beg. What do you mean his beautiful surgeon hands?
Bury me with my perfect hands, please.
My perfect surgeon hands. How could you?
My perfect golden surgeon arm. Bury me with it.
So yeah, the doctor apparently killed himself. Also, like, why? Because we know it's not because of the freaks. So, like, was he just, like, already like, oh, this shit sucks, and my hands are broken? All right, that's my 13th reason. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh. So this scene happens, and then no one will ever address it again. That's it. I was laughing so hard during this scene that I almost threw up, because I was like, this is an I think you should leave bit. What is happening right now? Like, who is this for? Like, is this from a different show? Did I tune into a different show? Because then Desiree and Ethel just are like, oh, so sorry, we'll leave. And then they just, like, scoot out of the room and don't ask any more questions. They're just like, oh, well, I guess he hated Freak so much he killed himself and broke his perfect surgeon hands. That makes sense. Of course. That makes perfect sense. We'll never talk about this again, though. It's fine. Yeah. So that happened. That was a scene that happened in this TV show legally. And now we're back. And now we're fucking back at the Freak Show for another extremely confusing series of events. So Stanley is at the Freak Show, as he is sometimes to do, I guess. And he's playing the, like, Test Your Strength machine, because that's the title of the episode. Which is just kind of like in the middle of the tents, which is a weird place, I feel, for that I to agree. Be. And he's doing it, and he's doing a dog shit job of it, and Del walks by all grumpy. And Stanley's like, hey, you're the strong boy. Can you do it for me? Because you're so strong. And then Del's like, hey, don't talk to me. I'm in the mood to hurt somebody. And I'm like, you already kind of like almost killed the bartender. So I feel like you should have gotten out of your system.
Does he have a mood that isn't that? Because it seems like that's the only one he has to me, is I'm going to kill somebody soon. Okay.
Yeah. There's not like too many knobs, or there's not too many notches on the knobs for Del. It's kind of just like wife guy at zero, and then like does a crime is the next one. There's a pretty significant jump to like just does a crime. And then he's like, don't talk to me or I'll mess you up. And then somehow magically these people like knock it out of the park every time, because immediately Stanley's like, you got erectile dysfunction? He doesn't say that, but he makes a joke about Del not being able to get it up.
He passes him the hammer, and hey, you know, he's like, I don't want to swing the big hammer. I don't want to lift up the big hammer. And Stanley goes, oh, Tron can't get it up, which, you know.
I'm like, how does everybody just look at Del and be like, I bet that guy's got a soft penis? Like, how is everyone clocking this?
I was going to say, why would being at the gay bar mean you have ED? That just means you're gay. Like, those are two different things. Like, it's like, oh, I love waffles. Oh, you fucking hate pancakes. And I didn't say that shit. Those are two different sentences. Like, having ED and being gay aren't even in the same room.
Yeah, so this is the beginning.
What if he was bi?
Yeah.
You know? What then?
What if he just needed directions? What if he just stopped in to get a drink? Like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And then the guy said something really rude, so he slammed his head into the bar.
He has so much gay porn, and he knows so little about being gay. It's so weird. And all the research, but none of the practical applications.
He also doesn't know that Thor uses a hammer, not a sword. So, really, Stanley is not credible at all, is what I'm getting at.
What a fool.
But he, like, this, like, makes Del so mad that he, like, does it. He does the bell thing. And then Stanley's like, that's so cool. Also, I saw you at the gay bar. and then I'm like, what does Stanley, and I will be asking this question for the rest of the episode, what does Stanley gain from now including an uninvolved third party in his weird plot to kill a freak and ship them off? Because A, I've been saying for several episodes, why doesn't Stanley simply kill a freak and then do the thing he's trying to do? And if he's not willing to do that, he has Maggie and he's like trying to make Maggie do it already. Why is he now like, I'd like to make things more complicated for myself by involving a guy who could definitely kill me if he wanted to?
That's right. Like, this whole black
and he does want to be clear. He really wants to.
Yeah.
like, I got something on you. Now I want you to kill someone for me. Please don't make it me, even though
that's the whole problem, right? As soon as you're threatening somebody with forcing them to do a murder, there is a second choice, always, implicitly, and it's killing you instead. Like, that's... you've unfortunately made the cost so high that the equivalent cost gets you out of the situation.
Right? Yeah.
And, like, Dell is, like, to be fair to him, I guess, his first reaction is, like, I'm going to kill Stanley with this big hammer that's in my hands right now. And I would like to point out that this would also solve Maggie's problems, which is not wanting Stanley to kill Jimmy and not wanting to kill a freak. She would be off the hook if this happened. But for some reason, she's in on the plot and, like, is like, hey, boys, what are you doing? I'm a witness to your crime if you decide to do a crime right now. And Stanley's like, yep, I'm blackmailing you. And Maggie is my witness in case you kill me. And I'm like, hot take. I don't think a single goddamn person in the universe is gonna give a shit if you die at this freak show. I don't think any of the freaks will care that you, the man who nobody knows, gets killed by Dell and would believe Maggie, who's very new to the freak show, over Dell, who, like, has kind of an established presence at the freak show. I don't think if Dell was just like, yeah, man, that guy had a gun, which, spoiler alert, he does. I'm pretty sure they would believe Dell. They seem to believe Dell about every fucking other thing, and they let him do whatever he wants. So
yeah. Also, they're like, the idea is supposed to be they're like threatening him with the idea of like legal trouble and like being, you know, like they'll call the cops on him. But it's like, Dell just broke a doctor's hands for like no real reason. He clearly doesn't give a shit about the law.
He has done a murder. That was how we were introduced to him, is that he had done a murder in Chicago and is hiding from the police because he did a murder. And he also just assaulted a bartender. Stanley watched it. That's how we got here
right now.
Yeah.
Stanley, it's not even like you can't even say he doesn't know. He saw it all.
Like, this is like trying to blackmail a lion. Truly, or like a bear, like, I know something naughty you did. The bear doesn't fucking give a shit. It's still gonna kill you. Like, the bear doesn't care.
It's smart.
Wow, you're gonna die with some fun knowledge. How about that?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, the bear, it's like, well, the bear doesn't understand blackmail, but it's better for Dell to kill Stanley. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even work with like random shit. Like, you just do it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, there's no universe in which being outed as gay is worse than, like, everything that is about to transpire that he's going to make Dell do.
Also, not to be rude, but the entire time Dell is, like, chuckle-fucking around with this giant mallet, tremendous King Dedede vibes. I just kept thinking it was a big funny penguin with a big ass sledgehammer. I couldn't help it.
It's got the star on like the face of the mallet too. It like totally like,
He and it's funny because Stanley even makes mention of it at some point. It might have been a little bit earlier. It might be a little bit later where he's just like, you know, it's funny. You don't really have the bodybuilder like cut physique I would expect from a strong man. He's like, you don't look that strong. You're kind of like a puffy big guy, like a big ass penguin with a hammer.
But all of this doesn't matter. Maggie like seeing it and Dell like wanting to kill him. And Dell, like, having blackmail against him from Stanley doesn't matter. You know why? Because Stanley has a fucking gun, which I feel like is God's blackmail in many ways. Really kind of also, trumps everything, IMO.
Also, like, terrible gun, not really threatening gun.
Very
like
funny
a, like
gun.
A real 22 or something, like a 22LR maybe. To the point that when Stanley threatens him with it, he has to specifically be like, oh, this isn't for killing you, it's for shooting your testicle. it's explicitly for taking one testicle at a time. This gun couldn't hurt a baby.
By the way, that's my signature move, shooting people in the dick. Like, wait, what?
He does say, that's not Slow Beef doing a bit. He does say, like, if I had a signature shot, it'd probably be shooting someone in the dick. Like, it's like something
he's
like that.
He says, like... a man who's had his testicle shot make such a specific scream. And it's like, fucking okay, Darth Vader. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to take away from this. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to give a shit. Like, I'm more, I don't know, I'm built different, I guess. I'd be more worried that you were going to shoot me in the head and kill me than shoot me in the balls. I don't know. Maybe I'm just built different. But again, Stanley has a gun, which I feel like is, you know, like the term like Chekhov's gun, you know why that's like important? Because it's a potentially plot like changing device that kind of it alters the atmosphere of everything around it.
This is Stanley's gun.
For shooting people in the balls.
So it doesn't do anything. Yeah. And it's totally ineffectual.
And when he pulls the trigger, it doesn't actually shoot a bullet. It's just that it's like a clown gun where like the flag comes out.
The white flag that says bang.
But instead of that, it's a gay porn.
It's not even why you hear Jamie's got a gun later in this episode. That's the worst of it. Like, they could have just added that for me, but no.
Oh, God. It's even... It's like it shoots the flag out, but instead it's just, like, a really long, like, centerfold.
Yeah.
It comes off and it's like, oh, shit, oh, crap! This is my really gay gun. One sec.
This is always happening.
Not again.
My
other signature move, damn it.
And then Stanley's like, all right, well, now that I got you here, I need you to kill a freak for me, because for some reason I can't just shoot one and kill them myself, or poison one with the poison that I have in a syringe that from another episode. I just gave up on that. I only had one syringe. And it just decides that he... I don't know. He's just decided to involve a third party for some reason. They needed, like, something actionable for Del, because, like, I think they realized, like, well, he's a shithead, but no one's doing anything about it. We need something, like, actionably bad that he can do that isn't beating his wife, which he has done, or being a raging alcoholic, or being shitty to his son. We need something that would make him be in danger.
Or trying to take over the entire circus and, like, become a mob boss of the whole shit. Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's done plenty of things.
No one gives a shit about it, though. They needed something that... Right. They needed him to do something that was so unforgivable, no one could possibly give him a pass. Anyway, surely he won't do that, and then everyone will be like, all right.
He'll do one thing, and people will, conflate it for a I don't want to say equally, because you can't really compare terribleness of these two acts, but a different one that's also quite poor. And they still are just like, whatever.
Yeah, like, it's probably fine. So anyway, later that night, I guess Maggie and Jimmy are banging, like, officially, because they're, like, naked in bed together. And Maggie's like, hey, remember yesterday when I said that there's a guy here who's going to try and kill you? We should probably, like, work on that. And Jimmy's like, well... I think Dandy might be the second clown, so we need to stay here. And she's like, I think you're just full of shit and you were never going to leave. And he does not say that that's not true. So that is the implication at this point. Now, all
right. So you know how, like, we've been talking extensively about how if you had to kidnap someone from here on the tier list of kidnappability, Ma Petite... S. Easy kidnap.
S plus.
Easy.
S pick plus up. Even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Like, truly, like, honestly, a rule breaker in how easy she is to kidnap.
Yeah.
An absolute outlier. Yeah. Extreme GT Goku energy off this one. And then, who would you say is probably the hardest to kidnap? Like, Jimmy's up there, right? Because Jimmy's shown a tenacity and a desire to fight, a will to fight. Mm-hmm. Elsa, I imagine, would do some pretty wild shit. You know, make a lot of noise at the very least. Who would be the hardest, would you say? Just, like, as a guess.
Someone like
I could
big.
Go for a character, too, that we haven't seen a lot of. Almost like you specifically went out of your way to pick the worst candidate for kidnapping. You know, that would be really a good hack.
The one character who has reach on Del in a boxing match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, just like, maybe just like spitballing here, maybe someone who would be impossible for Del to move if he was successful in what he was trying to do. Also, on a tier list of freaks that the museum would give a singular fuck about, Who would you...
Tall lady.
Yeah, tall lady, you think?
Taller yeah. than a regular lady. Mm,
yeah. Lady taller than a regular lady? Like, slightly taller. Like, not even, like, wildly taller.
Yeah, not, like, outrageously so.
Just,
yeah,
like, tall lady.
Like,
kind of tall lady.
And, like, I appreciate tall lady, don't get me wrong, but, like, yeah, not for, like, the Mütter Museum or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
right?
That doesn't really line up.
Big tall lady enjoyer myself, personally. I couldn't take a tall lady in a fight, and I'm not the strong man, so I guess I shouldn't be comparing myself to Dell.
I am the strong man, and I just would choose a different target.
Yeah.
I would simply have the presence of mind to be like, well, I might be able to do it, but, like, why? Like, he's
right?
not paying,
yeah.
like, I'm not getting, like, bonus
yeah.
rewards if I bring in, like,
scoreboard?
A particularly strong catch. Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't do this, I'll be extra outed. Yeah, like, it doesn't...
Like, and in case you're wondering, in case we haven't made it obvious, Dell has chosen Amazon Eve as his target for some fucking reason. And, like, in case you're like, oh, well, maybe it's because he knew that they already tried to get Ma Petite and they failed. So, like, she would be, like, a little bit on high alert. A, that's not true. Ma Petite is functionally a 2-year-old to them for some reason. And B, Dell has no fucking idea they have already tried to kidnap Ma Petite and kill Ma Petite. She no clue. He has no idea. But he knows Ma Petite exists, obviously. Also, Legless Susie, who I can't imagine is that hard to carry, and she can't get away that quickly.
And would weigh roughly half as much.
I would say less.
Like, just by nature.
I would say she's like 75% lighter than Amazon Eve by or more. Like,
oh, and Eve, yes. Yeah. Because Eve's taller than a regular lady, as we've been saying this.
Yeah, no.
And, like, couldn't really fight back, only has 2 limbs to fight back with. Like, there are just so many options. You got Salty and Pepper,
hey.
Who are kind of childlike and probably would be more willing to trust Dell. Just pretty much everybody, every single person at the freak show besides Amazon Eve is a better choice than Amazon Eve.
I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but if you were to, like, get caught unsuccessfully trying to kidnap someone, I mean, would it matter? Like, you'd have a harder time explaining it if you were just in a woman's trailer as, like, Dell, right? Or maybe that just doesn't matter at all. Nobody really cares about that outside of a few comments here and there. But anyway,
yeah.
Sorry,
or maybe you would. I don't know. Maybe you'd want to, like, maybe target one of the two people who doesn't really have, like, communicative skills, like Salty and Pepper, who couldn't, like, maybe rat you out if you were somehow unsuccessful in trying to kidnap them or whatever.
So Dell attempts to kidnap Eve. Throws what I presume to be a chloroform rag. He got some. How over her face? Reasonably, she kind of fights back, kicks him off, and assumes that he's trying to have his way with her because that's what it seems like, and that's what it seems like Dell might have a proclivity towards. Because why would anyone assume Dell's trying to kill them? There's no reason for Dell to just randomly be killing people. So yeah, Dell loses. Eve beats his fucking ass. Like, throws him against the wall, punches him in the head 12 times, like...
Hits him with, like, a trophy or something? Like, hits him over the head with, like, a real big object, too.
Yeah. And so, like... Again, being a strong man doesn't mean you're good at fighting. Those are two different skill sets. Like, it's helpful to be strong when you're fighting. Hitting someone harder is a plus. But,
sure,
like, you do have to, like... Know how to do that part. You have to know how to, like, throw a punch good.
Here's how bad Dell is at fighting. She was asleep, you know?
Yeah.
And he had a chloroform. It didn't, like, he lost that fight. He cannot
fight. Didn't even go for, like, a full restraint mount. Like, he didn't even be like, okay, knees on the elbows so they can't move. Like, no, he didn't even do that. No technique on this clown. He's not even a clown.
I know.
So he loses by, like, an unsurprising amount. Amazon Eve beats the shit out of him, which is great.
Like,
he
doesn't land a hit. Like, he tries to put a chloroform rag over the mouth, and then after that doesn't work, he's like, well, guess I'll block with my face.
Yeah, I have no other options here. Clearly, this is the only thing I can do. And then, like, he skitters out, I guess, to go back to his tent, maybe, or trailer. And then Amazon Eve goes to Ethel and Jimmy, and I think Susie's also there, and is like, yeah, this is what Dell just did. And a really confusing set of conversations is about to take place, where Jimmy will be like, they're like taking care of like Eve's wounds, and Jimmy's like, we gotta call the cops about Dell. And Ethel's like, we gotta kill Dell. We gotta kill Dell. It's time to kill Dell. And then Ethel gives a fucking speech, and I mean a fucking speech, like a monologue, like a Kathy Bates teary-eyed, like emotional music ass monologue about Jimmy being too nice and having too much hope, and they gotta kill Dell. And the cops will not help here for some reason. And then Jimmy's like, no, that guy that I hate, you gotta let me go talk to him. You can't kill him. I gotta go talk to him, and I'll kick him out. He'll definitely listen to me.
I'll persuade him not to be a rapist, okay?
Yeah. And he has shown to have so much respect for me as a human being and my opinions that when I tell him to leave, he definitely will. Yeah. And Ethel's like, well, that doesn't work, I'm gonna kill him. And
as your mother, this seems like a very safe thing to do. You go get him, son. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like,
and so this is roughly halfway through the episode, which is probably where we're gonna call it. I want you all to know in your heart of hearts that whatever the fuck you think is about to happen between Jimmy and Dell, way off base. Just
no, you don't.
way off base.
Yeah.
And I will let you know, everybody's just going to let Dell hang out after that. They're going to forget that he tried to like sexually assault and or murder someone. They're not really sure which, but it's like a probability cloud of both.
that's the thing that kills me the most, because they'll make like comments like, he's really dangerous, we can't have him around. Or it's like, yes, but nobody does anything about that. And they're just, he's just there. And it's like,
the show is so cool. Yeah, we have a half an episode left.
Yeah. Dell's gonna get the shit beat out of him, thrown out, and also didn't do the thing that Stanley asked, and then he's just gonna be like, yeah, whatever.
Not a care. Big deal. Who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Big deal.
Well, the writers didn't, but we do, and we'll hopefully see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.